Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. How's everybody doing out there? I hope everybody's doing okay. Anyway, welcome to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we are in our 10 and a half years we're in to this program, which is so hard to believe. I can't believe that we've been here this long, but let me tell you this. I know I probably say this every week, but there's so many things going on. And every day, when you're looking at the news, especially church news, and you can't believe the events of the day, the things that are going on, it's unbelievable. But anyway, we have our website, propheticnews.com. We have our YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio. And we have our book, which is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Lulu and different platforms out there. And the book is Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And they do. There's a lot of funny stuff going on. And I believe that some of these so-called ministers use forms of hypnotism and manipulation, which is witchcraft, to seduce people to give to their so-called ministries. When they start begging for money, you know that they've turned their back on God. It's like I was telling a friend of mine the other day that tithing has made monsters out of ministers or so-called ministers. It's made monsters out of them because they become their own kings of their kingdom. They become rich and they no longer have to have faith and trust in God. It's much better for a ministry to, in order to really try to stay pure and try to conduct yourself in a godly manner, is don't beg for money, and you don't have to send out appeal letters, and you don't have to tell people that you're going off, and that if you don't give to me, I won't be able to carry on. Well, as long as you have a mouth, you can open it. So when they start telling you that, they're most of the time they're just lying. Or they're desperate for money. There's always one-on-one evangelism. There's always street evangelism. There's always something that you can do that it doesn't cost you any money. So anybody can preach the gospel without a big budget. And we reach thousands of people every week on a very limited budget, very limited. And so we never beg for money. We never took up one offering in the 10 and a half years we've been here. So it's really up to the Lord to speak to people. If they want to give, it's up to them. It's much better to run your ministry like that, because you see what's happened to these churches where they constantly preach tithing, that the men, usually the men that run these churches, they learn to live on the 10%. So they don't have to trust God for their income. And so they just look at the parishioners they look at them like they're dollar signs or something. And so then they have to build their little kingdoms and they wind up going into debt. And some of them wind up, most of these men, how they wind up, the men that build these big so-called mega churches, and then they have multi-million dollar jet planes and multi-million dollar homes, and they have tailor-made suits and Rolex watches, and all off the 10% usually. And so what happens then usually when they get so wrapped up in their money is they start committing adultery. Because if you can't have faith in God, like the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. It's sin. So if you're not trusting God to meet your daily needs, then you're in sin, because who else can we trust? The Bible says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. So what are we supposed to do? Trust man to meet our daily needs? No, we have to trust God. And in the days we're living in, which anything can happen. Do you think that this pandemic, this coronavirus, it's only the tip of the iceberg as to what's coming in the future? It's only the tip. And so we better learn how to trust God to meet our needs, because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble later on, because there's no pastor that you can go to, or there's no so-called evangelist or prophet or whatever apostle you can go to and smack down $1,000, and you're going to get your needs met, especially in the days that are ahead of us. Because whoever thought, like this coronavirus, it comes out of the blue. It just comes out of the blue. All of a sudden, well, some people are trying to downplay it, but the fact that people have to go into quarantine. When was the last time we had people in quarantine in this country? It's like unheard of that people have to go into quarantine. And so obviously it's a lot more serious than the flu, because most people, when they have the flu, they go out and they spread it. Anyway, they don't have enough sense to stay home and stay away from people. But this thing, if they find out you have it, they're going to force you to go into quarantine. You're not going to have a choice. So here it is popping up all over the country. And it is a frightening thing. Anybody that's ever had the flu or anybody that's ever had pneumonia, you know what it's like. And you know you don't want it again. And so we definitely don't want coronavirus. Amen? I mean, we definitely don't want that. So God help us. And we need to be aware of what's going on. Be aware of what you touch. I don't like to touch anything when I go out. I'm very careful. And people used to look at me like I was weird. So I'm not touching that. I'm not touching that keypad, and I'm not touching that pen that 500 people used before I got here. So, and I'm not touching that shopping cart. So now people are realizing that, yeah, you can spread germs through what you touch. So they're being very careful, and there's not going to be all that hand-holding and all that kissing and all that hugging. And so things are going to change as far as people's habits, which I think can be a good thing, really, because I thought that a lot of the public places anyway that you went were kind of, they could be kind of dangerous, you know. And so I think now people are going to be more aware of their environment. So, but we need to be ready for just about anything that could happen. I see that my chat doesn't look like it's up. I don't know what's going on with this Blog Talk Radio, but they were supposed to fix this thing. Let me go and see if I can go on my page and see if I can see the chat room. I can't see it on my switchboard here, but I'll go to my page and see if I can see it there, because I don't think it's up, and I don't think they fixed it. They've been making so many changes to this Blog Talk Radio thing that sometimes things work and sometimes they don't work. No, I don't see the chat room. So I'm sorry, everybody. I know people like to come to the chat room, but I don't, you know, it's not here. I don't know, maybe they're trying to do away with it. When we first started out on Blog Talk Radio, oh, they had the greatest support. You could talk to a live person, and they were just right on top of everything. Now, it takes forever to get. Anyway, I was on my page, but so that's it. There's no chat room. Sorry, everybody. I don't know when they're going to get this problem fixed, but all right. Let me go back to the studio here. So anyway, I was listening to this Joseph Prince this week, if you're familiar with him. Oh, what a weird guy that is. I'm telling you, he is a cult leader. I'm convinced of it. He was telling the people, I couldn't believe what I was actually hearing. Basically, he was telling people that you didn't really need to repent after you got saved, because if you kept repenting, it was a form of self-importance and a form of pride. Oh, please. I ask every day for God to forgive me and to create in me a clean heart. Oh, could you believe it? So what, can you imagine the kind of Christians they're raising up over there at his place? What is he? I think he's in Singapore or Malaysia, one of those countries. I don't remember really, but I'm probably going to do a program about it because I found it so very, very shocking. Very shocking. So like I said, every day something happens and you're just when you thought you heard everything, you hear everything, you know. So let's, for us, let's try to stay strong in the Lord, stay in the Word. Oh, try to keep ourselves unspotted from the world and to try to keep ourselves on the straight and narrow, because there's so many false prophets that have gone out into the world. And they are dangerous. I think that also they get very, very defensive. I notice that these people that are into a lot of these false teachings and false doctrines, they get very defensive when you call them on it. But look, we don't say anything here unless it came from their mouth. If it comes from their mouth, we just tell you and we play the audio of what they said. So I don't understand why they get so aggravated at the apologetics ministries and the polemics ministries and the discernment ministries out there, because they repeat what you're saying. Oh, they get very defensive and, oh, they're haters. And they're coming against you and they're lying about you. No, we're not lying about, we don't lie about anybody. We play what they said. So that's what you said. I didn't say it. My next door neighbor didn't say it. My friend didn't say it. You said it. So get mad at yourself for saying it. And I noticed today that this program we're going to do on Jenny Hodge and this Christ Alignment Ministry, I didn't really know that much about it. I saw something on a website where they were talking about Michael Brown. Now, he calls himself Dr. Michael Brown. I'm not sure what kind of a doctor he is. I didn't look into it, but he calls himself Dr. Michael Brown. And anyway, somebody, another brother that has a radio broadcast on YouTube, was trying to bring it to Michael Brown's attention about this card reading, which they compare to tarot cards, which it does compare to tarot cards. It's not tarot cards, but it seems like a form of tarot cards, which they called Christian. They put this Christian label on these cards that they made, which look like, resemble a tarot card. And they sit down at a table at these festivals and they take the cards out and they start telling the people to read the cards, to put the cards out, and they're going to give them a reading. So what does that sound like? It sounds like going to a psychic or a witch and somebody reading your cards. That's what it sounds like. So anyway, the brother on YouTube was trying to bring it up to Michael Brown. So was the other brother on the website. He was trying to bring it to their attention. Now, in defense of these two brothers, they have lives. It's not like they don't have anything to do with their life except bring up these topics of what they find alarming that's going on. So they have every right to do that. And so they're not trying to hurt anybody. Maybe they're trying to save you from yourself and from your error. So it's like Michael Brown. Michael Brown got very defensive over the fact that these two brothers were trying to bring it to his attention about this so-called ministry, I'm going to call it, because after looking into it myself, I found it very, very alarming that this lady, Jenny Hodge, actually calls herself a psychic when she goes to these festivals, these New Age festivals. And why would a Christian want to go to these festivals and label yourself as a psychic? Because we're not supposed to go and deceive people about why we're trying to tell them about Jesus. And anyway, she doesn't even want to say the name of Jesus at first. What's the use? Yeah, we know that no man comes to the Father except that you have to come through Jesus. So anyway, like I said, in defense of these two brothers that were trying to alert Michael Brown, and Michael Brown likes to call himself an apologist. Well, if you're really an apologist, do the research. It didn't take me a couple of hours to do the research to draw some conclusions after I saw these people on YouTube and I saw some of their writings and some of the things that they were doing. It didn't take me too long to figure out exactly what was going on. So for Michael Brown, that he was trying to imply that these brothers that were trying to point out to him what was going on, they weren't doing it because they had an agenda or they didn't have integrity or whatever Michael Brown was saying. They did it to bring it to your attention so that maybe you might learn something from your critics. You might learn and say, okay, let me look into it. Don't make off-the-cuff statements if you don't know what you're talking about. Obviously, when I went and watched a video of Jenny Hodge being interviewed by somebody on YouTube, and she's saying that that people are seeing dead people and people are seeing people that have passed away, like Bob Jones. Bob Jones is appearing to people. And I can't think of his name right now. Another dead person who interpreted dreams. Oh, John Paul Jackson. He's appearing to people. He died, and he's appearing to people. And they're also seeing Elijah, and they're seeing Moses. So maybe Michael Brown, if you had done some investigating, you would have found these things alarming yourself before you started attacking the two brothers that were trying to bring it to your attention. Of course, then Michael Brown finally, a few weeks ago, had Jenny Hodge on his radio broadcast, which I thought most of the interview really was a softball interview because he's apologizing. Oh, I'm not trying to be, I don't really have a dog in the fight. Well, you should have a dog in the fight. You should. Because we're supposed to stand up for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, earnestly contend for the faith. And we're supposed to tell people when they're wrong. You don't have to apologize for telling somebody, wait a minute, that's wrong. So, like, this guy is so wishy-washy. Really, so wishy-washy. So, that for Michael Brown, in case he hears about this broadcast or he happens to listen to it, when somebody brings something to your attention, there's a reason for it. Usually, they're not these men that are doing these programs and have the website. They're doing the research. They're not most of the time. If you look at their material, you see that they've spent time actually trying to investigate these things and then bring it to people's attention. And doesn't the Bible say we're supposed to warn people? The Bible says we're supposed to warn people. So if the Bible says it, I guess we're supposed to do it and not apologize when somebody that calls himself a Christian is going to New Age festivals and telling the witches and the psychics and everybody else that's there, I'm a psychic. Yeah, so that's a lie. That's a lie. Here, I'm going to play the audio. You hear Jenny Hodge say this herself. This is Jenny Hodge saying it herself, that she says she's a psychic.
Jenny Hodge from Australia. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now.
Well, we're in at the market as psychic.
You're using the word psychic, and you're at a fair where people would normally go to a psychic, and they're going to come to you instead.
That's what my mom's getting all week. You're a witch, and I would not promote witchcraft.
Now, you showed me a group of tables that are next to you. Is that where you have all these people that are helping you? They come in and sit down across from somebody?
Yes, they do. They sit across from someone just like you would at any psychic reading. So you're one-on-one opposite your client, and we hold their hand so that we have a physical connection to them.
Person who does witchcraft.
We did have to make a decision in the first year of the ministry, and it was actually Ben Fitzgerald that was advising us, my own son, and he said, you know what, Mum, you're not doing this for the church, and you're not doing this for Christians. You're doing it for only one person, Jesus.
That's the whole point. Mum went in there to reach the people. Dad goes in there to reach the people. People need people to reach them through the gospel. They don't need judgment.
We're not out to convert them. We want to honor them like Jesus really did with the Samaritan woman. He didn't straight away he didn't openly convert her. He actually spoke to her with honor. And I believe that the whole evangelism concept of trying to convert people is really pretty, a little bit screwed up. We don't say that prayer at all.
Yeah.
In fact, the word pray is banned off the team.
Do you attend a church anywhere?
Yes, we do. We attend a supernatural church in Melbourne. Actually, even our church, which Ken was one of the founding members in that church, like many years ago. In the first year of this ministry, they hauled us in and they said, you're corrupting the young people, you're taking young people to nudist festivals. And we got wrapped over the knuckles for a year, and then they slowly got their heads around it, and now they fully support us.
Okay, so now, do you think that somebody would be unloving for calling her out on those statements, that she calls herself a psychic when she goes into these New Age witchcraft festivals and they sit at a table and they hold hands with the people and they put the cards out on the table and they start reading the cards to people? And then they take them through through guided imagery where they tell them to close their eyes, and then they're going to take them through this guided imagery. And then most of the time, now most of the time, people see Jesus. Yeah, they see Jesus. Yeah, Anyway, I think it's only natural for the everyday Christian to be alarmed by something like that. I think it's only natural. I don't think it's hateful, and I don't think anybody's lying about this woman. She came out of her own mouth. That was her saying it. So nobody else was making it up. And she likes to say, well, Jesus, you know, with the Samaritan woman, he showed her respect, right? Oh, no, he didn't show her. He told her. He told her straight out what he thought. Listen, Jesus wasn't trying to hide anything. Well, he treated her with respect. No, Jesus himself, he went into the temple and he had a whip in his hand, didn't he? Went and overturned the money changer's table. So, Jesus, he told it like it was. Straight out, called things as they were. So, anyway, I'm going to play some more of these audios, and then you can make up your own mind about what's going on here. But it seemed obvious to me. Now, here's a clip, and there was a video that went with this clip, and there's a girl, a very pretty girl, sitting behind a table, and they're at this New Age fair, and there's all these kind of New Agey beads and stuff around the table, and there's this girl sitting there, and she's got the cards on the table, and these people, they say that she designs these cards, and they're to look like they're the size of a tarot card, but they're not a tarot card. They put their own images. There's only images on these cards, but they have people sit down at this table, and then here's what the girl tells them.
Hi, I'm Ellie.
Right.
What was your name?
Daryl.
Hi, Daryl. Welcome to Christ Alignment. So anyone that does a reading here from the spirit realm, which exists outside of time and space. So we're hearing from the Christ spirit. Therefore, it's possible for us to hear about your past, your present, and your future. However, we don't like doing future predictions because it combines you to times, places, and events that you've got little control over or choice over. It locks you into things. So here we're in a higher realm that wants to empower your destiny and not control it. So does that make sense?
Yep.
Awesome. So it's our goal to empower you from this third heaven realm. And what I have here are the destiny reading cards, and they're going to reveal to you the gifting that you've been born with. The gifting affects your relationships and your jobs, and it will also address issues in your life which will empower you to make better choices in the future. Now, have you got a question or a problem that you'd like a resolution to today?
Maybe.
Yeah, well, the cards can address that problem as well. And then at the end of that, we'll go into an encounter where you can get the answer for yourself.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. So the way that it will work is that we'll get you to place the cards in order of most important up the top, me and me, and then you put them down to the least important, like that. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
That would be fun.
I know it's a little hard to hear with the background noise and the accents, but she's telling him. Now, this isn't supposed to be Christian ministry. She's telling him that the cards will have the answer. The cards will have the answer. Oh, I don't think so. No, I do not think so. It sounds like deception. There's no reason why you have to go. Even if you were going to one of these festivals and setting up a table, there would be nothing wrong with that. If you had Bibles out and you had Christian tracts and you were telling the people exactly why you were there, what they were going to hear if they talked to you. You're not going to sit down with them and act like a psychic and say, I'm a psychic, and you have cards there, and then you're deceiving people. because you're not telling them the truth of why you're there. Well, that's not the way to win people. So let me play these clips of Jenny Hodge herself. You'll hear her talking.
That is correct, Derek. That's so right. And that's the core, the main thing that we do in our destiny readings is actually take people into an amazing encounter in the third heaven realm where many of them, over half of them, the clients that we see, actually see Jesus standing in front of them, and they're talking directly to him. So obviously that has a really big impact on their lives and brings a lot of healing as well. We're really leading them. It's pretty simple. It only lasts about 15 minutes usually, and we came up with a way of being able to lead them on a really detailed guided encounter, which is an imaginary encounter, but then it becomes incredibly real. And they're seeing all kinds of things, which has upset an incredible amount of church people, because they say, this can't happen. You know, like, Jesus can't rock up as a seagull, or Jesus can't rock up as a dead relative. But actually, we've found in the 9 years of this ministry that Jesus will rock up and show up and do whatever he wants to do, and he is. And he's showing up in incredible ways to people that don't know him yet because he loves them so much. Sometimes, but usually, he's standing right there in front of them, and we ask them to describe him, and they describe what they're seeing. They don't know who it is usually in the encounter, but he's always, you could basically always say, look, definitely do not come from a religious background. And they who they're seeing at first, but often they ask him, who are you? And he will say, I am Jesus Christ in the encounter. So he's giving them the answers to their questions, because the reason they come to us, of course, is because they think we're psychic.
Yeah, they think we're psychics. That's why they're coming to us. And Jesus is not coming down to earth to appear to people. He said he came once, he went up, he ascended into heaven, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he says, I'm coming again. He didn't say, I'm coming 10 times, I'm coming 20 times, I'm coming 100 times, I'm roaming the whole earth appearing to people. He didn't say that. So he's not appearing to these people. I don't know who is appearing to these people, but I know one thing for sure. It's not Jesus, because he's not a man that he should lie. All right, here's Jenny Hodge again.
We're in cards, so we're in control of what is on them. They are definitely not tarot in that they contain no occultic symbols on them at all. And we don't need the cards at all, because we're operating fully in word of knowledge. We're able to give word of knowledge on the phone or whatever. At the Christian side, they will always say, well, it's not in the Bible. But actually, neither is Facebook, neither are cards, neither is the internet, neither is a whole lot of stuff that's really predict the future. But I would say this, I would say that God is so out to have relationship with mankind. Actually, Jesus actually said, if you don't praise me, the very stone doesn't need us, and he doesn't need our cards. He doesn't need, he is dying to reach humanity into a loving relationship with them. And if the stones cry out, so be it, but people are going to get a shock when that happens, the presence of angels to be around. And I think we've lost it. We've lost that now. But I hope that lower spirits are always watching what we do and hearing what we do and watching this. I do believe some of these things are open portals where spirits can attach themselves to that person's private experience. And I think that's a good word, private, because many of these experiences that people are having, they're having in private, so there's no There's no person to monitor that except the person in private that's having that one experience. And yeah, you're absolutely right. There are many books now written about people seeing Elijah, and maybe not to have an added experience. Like the Elijah thing, I know about that one very well, and I agree with you. I think it's natural, and so he would want us to experience. I mean, after we're dead, if we believe in heaven after we're dead, here on earth, how are we going to cope with an eternal one that's going to blow your mind? Like, so I do agree with you. I just think that people should be free to seek out, to see, and of that percentage, they're all non-religious, non-church-going people. And the encounters that they're having, we're starting to record them, and I don't know about to write a book, but to at least record, we've recorded thousands now of the encounters because they are so, they blow everything. I mean, I'll just tell you only one. A lady, her dad had recently died, and she was, we'll see what the spirit says. So we're never going to say to them, yes, we're going to connect. We don't say, yes, we're going to connect you with your departed loved one. So we said to her, yes, we're going to see, take you into an encounter, and we'll see what the spirit does. Well, in the encounter, the gift giver came to her as her dad. And she started crying, and we asked her what's going on. She said, well, I see my dad. He's standing there in heaven, and he's talking to me. And then she said, hang on a minute, another person has appeared. And we said, "What? Describe what that person's like." And they said, he's got dark hair, beard, a moustache, a long robe, and he looks very white, like white light. And she said, my dad is talking to that person. And we said to her, what is your dad saying? She said, my dad just turned to me and he said to me, from now on in your life, I want you only to follow the spirit of truth. You may not make that up, but we did not make it up or enhance that to happen. And they're having encounters like this. And as soon as she opened her eyes at the end of it, she said, the very first thing I'm going to go home and do is throw out all my tarot cards. That's what
she's. Yeah, she's going to throw out all her tarot cards after she talked to her dead father in a so-called Christian encounter. Stop it already, please. Oh, and notice in one of the audios she says that, however Jesus chooses to appear, he can appear as a seagull. Oh, yeah, Jesus appears as a seagull. Yeah, Jesus. Oh. Help, God, help, 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 God, help us, yeah, help us, please. And, of course, she says that they have recorded thousands of these appearances where Jesus is appearing to these people. Yes, he's appearing to these people who aren't saved. He's talking to them. He's bringing their dead relatives there to talk to them. And Elijah's talking to them. Moses is talking to them. John Paul Jackson is talking to them. Bob Jones is talking to them. And then they wonder. Then they wonder why there's people out there calling them out on these things. And that, what do they say? Oh, they're haters. They're lying about us. Nobody's lying. You said it. You said it. Here's another audio from her.
Actually, there have been prophets around the world that have questioned our ministry as well.
Yeah.
But it's just taken them a little bit of time to understand really what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have listened to them. One of the main things that some people keep saying is, we want you to stop using cards, you know. And we say, well, that's the one thing, we're not going to stop using them. So So they realize that, well, maybe they're not such a bad thing after all. And the thing is, in the New Age in Australia now, we're really well respected by psychics, and they will come to us for readings themselves. And we're actually good friends with some witches. So we're actually able to talk now on a different level with them, and on a one-to-one level, on a more of a friend basis. And they know that, they know which spirit we're operating from. They know that we're only using Christ, and we make that very, very plain and very obvious that we're not channeling any other spirit guide or any weird spirit. And they respect that. And they're actually, they've renamed our tent at one witchcraft festival here the healing tent. So they recognize us as healers, that we're coming in into the environment as a team of healers, and they really do actually respect the gifting that they're not going to play games anymore either. And it was in that moment I lost all fear of him, complete loss of fear. I said, okay, you've done the worst you can do to me in my life. You've destroyed my marriage. You've taken out my husband, but that's the end of it. And it was like a point that I reached spiritually where I saw what's really happening in the spirit realm for the first time with unveiled eyes. And I could see that he's actually out to take out everyone. There's no kind spirit guide. There's no nice spirit guide that you can take shopping to Coles and do shopping with like we've been taught, you know, in some of these other classes. And he's out to actually take you out. And we've had psychics come to us saying they've been a psychic, say, for 10, 20 years. They'll come to us and they say, can you please help us? And we say, what's wrong? And they said, at first, everything was going great with my spirit guide. Now I'm physically very, I can't get rid of this sickness. Totally. One that comes to my mind, a quick one, is on Christmas Eve with my daughter, just her and me alone in the house. And we felt something move at the front door. We looked towards the front door and we saw a being of light walking through the door and arriving in the house. And we were pretty excited at that. Very point, her face, little particles of gold started appearing like gold oil all over her face, and it went down from her face, traveled down her neck, down onto her clothes, until she was actually sitting there. We were by now nearly screaming because this was an amazing spirit. It was a manifestation of not only the glory of Yeshua, but it was a manifestation probably of the angelic presence that had just walked in the door. And it was really amazing. We tried to take photographs of it, but they didn't photo very well. But on the outside of her coat and skin, these particles of gold were gold color, but when she took off her black jacket, the whole inside, every single particle was silver. They were two different. That's impossible. That's just impossible. And in that, like you said, the proof is in the fruit of it. The fruit of it was that we could literally tangibly feel the presence of Yeshua without having to see him in a bodily form. It was just crazy. Like the oil was literally, you could put it in a glass.
Right.
It was dripping
crazy
off her hand. And since then, we've had many experiences of this heavenly dust that people call gold dust. A lot of people say it's fad. Bed sheets out on the line, covered back and front, straight out of the washing machine, as they hang on the line, one sheet will be covered and there's not one speck of it on any other part that was in that washing machine. And they are miracles that happen as signposts, I believe, towards God. It's like God invading the physical earthly realm, saying, here I am, I'm here.
We know he's here. We don't need gold dust in the washing machine and gold dust on the clothesline and beings walking through the door. Oh dear, I don't know what are these people smoking? I don't know. And then she says, "Oh, we're respected by the psychics, and we're friends with witches." No, you're not friends with witches. They're not your friends. No. Did you ever know any witches? They're not really. They might be friendly, but they're witches for a reason. And witches do not like Christians. I have news for you. So don't tell me that you're friends with witches, because, no, you don't want to mess around with witches. You certainly don't want to be friends with witches. I don't know, gold dust coming all over her daughter, and then she's got oil dripping. Maybe she's friends with the guy we did the program about last week with the Bible. The Bible that's dripping with the oil. Now, her daughter is dripping with oil. Like, I guess that makes you super spiritual, right? But Jesus himself said, don't go running around looking for signs and wonders, because if you go running around seeking after a sign, you're always seeking after a sign and a wonder. The devil has plenty of signs and wonders for you to deceive you. And obviously, these people are deceived. Obviously. So, God help us. But let's look at a few scriptures. Isaiah 8:19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Yeah. Seek after God. You don't need gold dust and oil dripping and cards and calling yourself a psychic. So don't lie to people. I mean, maybe you are a psychic. Who knows? 1 Samuel 28:3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah. Even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. He put them out. So to put them out of the church too. Put them out. 2 Kings 21:6. And he made his son pass through the fire and observe times and used enchantments. And that's exactly what these people are doing. They're using enchantments. And dealt with familiar spirits and wizards, he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Leviticus 20:6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards, to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among my people. Isaiah 19:3, and the spirit of Egypt shall fall in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to their idols and to their charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. More 2 Kings 23:24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. 1 Samuel 28:9. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off all those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? Now remember, Saul, he went to go seeking after the witch at Endor. Remember, it didn't end very well for him. So we don't have to go running around to get sit down with people at a table for them to hold our hands and to take cards out and to start laying the cards on the table. And then they're going to give us words of knowledge, and then they're going to take us through guided imagery. No, you don't need all that. And run far away from it. Run far away from it because it's dangerous. Don't mess around with witchcraft. Don't mess around with witches. Don't mess around with psychics. Stay away from it. Far away. Because it's a snare. It's a snare. And people that warn against it aren't anybody's enemies. So here I've got a few audios that I made from, and these videos are available on YouTube. If you want to see Jenny Hodge herself saying these things, and also the interview that she did with Michael Brown, they're on YouTube. So if you put her name, Jenny, it's JennyHodge, Jenny Hodge, and Michael Brown, that interview will come up. And also, if you go on to the search engines and search for any articles that were written about her, there's articles, there's quite a few articles by different ministries that were speaking out against this practice, which were really fine articles. They did the investigative reporting. They laid out the facts. You can't deny the facts. You can't deny the truth. You can't deny video of them actually saying the things and doing the things. You can't deny it. What are you going to say, that they were doctored? Well, they're not. They're not. So don't fall for anything. It's just like Michael Brown. Don't fall for anything. If somebody points something out to you, be humble enough to say, I'll check it out, before you start name calling and accusing people. No, say, I'll check, let me check it out. Thank you for sending it to me, but I'll investigate it, and then I'll see. If I'm wrong, you could say, I admit I was wrong. What's wrong with that? So, just like when Michael Brown was interviewing Jennifer LeClaire, who's the editor of Charisma. Now, it's the wacky world of Jennifer LeClaire. But she was talking about some kind of a sneaky squid spirit or something. Now, where is that in the Bible, the sneaky squid spirit? So when he's interviewing her, of course, he writes a column for Charisma magazine, so he's not going to. If you're really someone that's into apologetics, you're not afraid to lose a job for the sake of the truth. But did he ask Jennifer LeClaire about the sneaky squid spirit when he interviewed her? No, he didn't. He didn't ask her about some of her other wacky, wild ideas, because he obviously didn't want to rock the boat over there at Charisma. Who cares if you lose your column in Charisma? You can have a column anywhere on the internet. You don't need Charisma magazine. And then you'll wimp out on telling people the truth because you don't want to lose your column. Oh, please. So grow a backbone, will you?
I am going to ask questions, some of which will seem to be very basic and some of which will seem to be very accusatory. I'm simply representing questions others have, and where I stand, you know, we find out as we go. So, Jenny, first just tell me the short version of why you do what you do before we talk about what you actually do.
Okay. we love people, and we want to be able to be relevant to all people in all society. Even the ones that most Christians fear to touch or go near. And we believe that we do have a mandate from Jesus to actually be love to all of those people and to be able to reach them and talk to them no matter what area they're in, whether they're witches, whether they're music festivals or hippie festivals. But we believe that Jesus did not separate at the end of Matthew is a call to go into all the world, that there's a separation, but we believe the church has created that separation.
All right, and how is it that you believe someone is saved? What message are you bringing to them? I don't mean the first moment you sit with someone, but ultimately, what message are you bringing to them in terms of what it means to be saved and who Jesus is?
Probably exactly the same as any other Christian, as they would talk to a non-Christian, that there's a process of the Holy Spirit has to work in their heart as well. And so it's really no different. We don't hide anything from them once they reach that stage. So we're very honest with them, very open with them. And everyone on the team, our team, has had a personal experience with Jesus. For me personally, I saw him when I was 22. And so everyone has had a very real and very personal experience with Jesus Christ.
So when you speak of Jesus Christ, do you believe there's salvation outside of Jesus?
No. No, we don't.
What's your view about tarot cards?
We hate tarot cards, and tarot cards are actually from the occult, and there's at least 8 cards in every deck that have occultic images on them, symbols that have meaning, and we have used tarot cards, we never will use tarot cards, and we are, in fact, our mandate, a prophetic word given over us, would be that we disable tarot cards. So usually people coming to us will go home and throw their tarot cards in the bin. And that's happened many times, that they've actually thrown them in the bin when they go home. Because our job is not just to give people an encounter with God, but also to disable tarot cards and to stop people going to psychics.
Do you call yourselves psychics?
No, we don't. Not at all. But people will call us that. People will mistakenly, because they are coming from a whole area where they move with psychics all the time.
Okay. All right, now. Let's play the audio. Now, you see that Michael Brown asks her if people call her a psychic, or she calls herself a psychic, and she says no. But what did she say? What did she say in this one audio?
Now, Jenny Hodge from Australia. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now.
Well, we're in at the market as psychic.
You're using the word psychic, and you're at a fair where people would normally go to a psychic, and they're going to come to you instead.
That's what my mum's getting all week. You're a witch, you're a witch, and I would not promote witchcraft.
Now, you showed me a group of tables that are next to you. Is that where you have all these people that are helping you? They come in and sit down across from somebody?
Yes, they do, Dane, they do. They sit across from someone just like you would at any psychic reading. So you're one-on-one opposite your client, and we hold their hand so that we have a physical connection to them.
A person who does witchcraft.
We did have...
she's just talking to Michael Brown now. She's not going to admit to Michael Brown that she called herself a psychic, no. And Michael Brown, you should have done the research before you had her on with your interview, because that's the correct way to do an interview when you're questioning somebody that obviously is in serious error. Do the research, gather her quotes, gather her audios, and don't apologize. Why are you apologizing? Oh, I don't want to be accusatory. Well, you don't want to be accusatory when people's life and death are hanging in the balance. So that's the proper way to conduct an interview, is to gather the facts, present the facts to the person that you're interviewing, so that when she tells you that she doesn't call herself a psychic, you could say, well, how come you said here that you're a psychic? That's the proper way to do an interview. So he wasn't prepared.
Go to festivals and look for psychic readings and encounters, that they use that platform to then draw people to Jesus. Critics would say it's, you have Christ alignment on that name. You said within 5 minutes of them sitting down that you tell them you're not relying on some lower spirit power, but you're going to Christ himself.
Yeah.
But you also said if you say the name of Jesus within the first 5 minutes, people will walk out. So I don't follow it. That just confused me, those two things.
They actually do, we've proven this, that if a non-Christian who's used to going to a psychic comes to you, or even in any music festival, if they come to you wanting an answer for something, which is basically prayer, we're able to pray with them, it is praying with them, but they're coming to you for an answer, the last thing they want to be is evangelized in that state. They're coming to you with really serious questions, and I believe that Jesus honored people.
Mm-hmm.
He honored where they were at, and he didn't force the gospel onto them. He didn't force them to be like him. He gave them a choice. And thus saying that, I do want to make the point that we're not here to please Christians. So for us at Christ Alignment, we actually don't mind or really care that Christians don't like us, because we are not doing this ministry in the church. We're doing it out of the church where the dying people are. And we care about the person sitting in front of us, not really what...
Again, so folks know, you reached out to us when you saw the subject came up. Not close friends, but maybe friends of friends that have gone to gay pride event or something like that, and set up a tent and said, you know, anyone need prayer? So that's one thing. Okay. I know others, friends of friends, that have said, we do dream interpretation. And you come in and share the dream, and they pray that God would give them an interpretation like Daniel. Then they preach the gospel. Yeah. And, you know, each thing is like, okay, one thing makes sense. Another may be pushing the envelope. But what I don't understand is, okay, the reading. I understand you're using a method to reach a certain people. But cards? Okay, so they're not tarot cards. But why cards?
No,
why a reading? I mean, what is that?
It's called a destiny reading. You could call it a spiritual reading. But in the Bible, destiny is talked about the whole time, I believe. And you look at Daniel and even Joseph in Genesis 44:15, his reply to his brothers said, "Don't you know that a man like me can find out things by divination?" In other words, Joseph himself was aware that he had a seer gifting. Now, we're operating only in word of knowledge. So this is God speaking through you, and the cards are only photographic images. They have nothing on them. They don't have words on them. They're photographs. My husband and I have taken over half of the photographs. And the person looks at that photograph and they see things in that photograph. It has no words on it. They don't look like tarot. We've had psychics and witches, when they finally sit down and start doing the cards, they say they are not tarot. They know they're not tarot.
No, okay. I understand that they are not. The tarot cards are specific and have certain demonic meaning, function, and perhaps even demonic power. But what I still don't understand, why use? Okay, I understand people are used to the cards, but people are used to sleeping around and doing drugs. And you don't say, let's get high, and then we'll get you a word.
So why
even use the cards? You pray with people, they share a need.
Well,
maybe the Lord gives you an insight, and then
I
you preach
say,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't tell. Oh, no, we don't tell them about Jesus first off. No, we don't say his name. And we definitely don't mention the word pray. No, you sit down with people, you take out cards, you lay cards out on the table, and then the cards have pictures on them, and then these people that are into witchcraft, and they're psychics and whatever, they sit down there, and then they see things in the cards. Oh, help us, please, help us. God, help us. And you don't see anything wrong with that? There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that.
Well, when you preach Jesus to new ages, they're not open for a start. But and that is confirmed by other ministries around the world that have had to go undercover as well, or to not preach Jesus as openly as an evangelist on the street. And we're very familiar, as you can imagine, with Bethel and my son with evangelists on the street. So there is quite a big difference in the two types of talking to people like this. The cards, we see 6,500 people per year for 20 minutes each. And if I could write a book, which we probably will, about the incredible, incredible accuracy of the words of knowledge with these cards, which are just images. Now, people in church use prophetic paintings, and some of our cards have prophetic paintings on them. And for me, personally, as an artist, I cannot see what's wrong with a prophetic painting. Just because it's on a card, and that card is lying on a table. For me, as a Christian, if you say to me, your prophetic painting, which is now printed on a card, and that card is obvious on a table, it's quite ridiculous. I see God work in not only prophetic paintings, in dance, in all other forms, and I just cannot see why a prophetic painting...
What's the card there for? It's not saying that a picture can't have a message, or you can't look at a painting and say, wow, that's inspirational, but what's the card do? What are you actually doing with the card?
We're using Word of Knowledge.
Okay, no, so that we understand. We have no problem with that. But yeah. In other words, why the... And I'm not attacking. I'm trying, as I said at the beginning, my goal is not to defend.
Yeah. He's not attacking. His goal is not to defend. So wishy-washy. Well, when they're sitting down with these cards and they're flipping these cards and the cards have pictures and the people are seeing things in the cards and then they're giving them words of knowledge and then they take them through this guided imagery and then the people start seeing Jesus, they're seeing angels. No, that's not God. That's not God. The only way people get saved is if you preach the gospel to them. You tell them who the Savior is, because obviously they're looking for a Savior. They're not looking to go, they're already into cards. They're already into witchcraft. They're already into the New Age. They don't want any more of that. People that are really searching want the truth. They want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear, go through all this other stuff that you're deceiving them with. Instead of coming out and openly telling them that you're evangelizing them, you don't tell them. You don't tell them. So do you think they're going to respect you? I don't care how many testimonies you have. You can't deceive people to try to evangelize them. You have to be honest with people about who the Savior is, not somebody that you guided through some kind of an imagery, and then they start seeing somebody that they think is Jesus. Well, it's not Jesus. He's not, didn't come back yet.
Word pray. You've brought up a really great point, and I do want to make this point. I want to challenge all the Christians that are listening out there who don't go on the street, who don't go out into the marketplace. The question I want to ask you is, why aren't you guys operating in the power that is in the book of Acts? And this is the basis of our team, is to walk in power, in signs and wonders and miracles. If someone gets instantly healed, you don't need to say anything. You don't need to
say the word pray, they're going to ask you, they're going to say, what the heck was that? I want it.
Okay.
And I'm going to challenge the Christians that are listening, why aren't you walking in that power? It's actually not like that at all. In fact, in real life, when people are in front of us, our agenda isn't just to get them saved. So the agenda isn't that anyway. Like if someone comes to us with a heart problem and they need cleansing from stuff or they need healing, we believe that even just healing alone, in the Bible I can't see that Jesus actually explained to every single person that he healed what he was actually doing.
But
and,
they still knew they were coming to Jesus, not just some power. In other words, he would preach and heal.
Basically, standing in front of them, and that is amazing. And nothing could explain that. It's just a miracle. It's amazing. One after the other after the other in the encounters with us, which is the Holy Spirit doing it and which is power. They are actually encountering him for themselves. So our words, what we say, become less, and what they encounter themselves becomes more.
Right, and the...
Yeah, I mean, we call it, and other teams all around the world that are doing this as well. We've just finished training up nearly a German team in Munich. They will call it sometimes a spiritual reading. The word reading, you could really call it anything you want to. It wouldn't really matter. The word reading is common in the big expos that we go into here in Australia. I don't know what they're like in America. 144,000 people walk through the door, and in one whole room of that building, there are 100 psychics sitting at tables, and it's called the reading room. Put it this way, we want to compete with the devil. We want to take him out. We're a deliverance ministry, and we want to take him out, and we do that very successfully. And if we use some of their terms, like reading, it doesn't matter to us at all. All we see is the fruit, and the fruit is that we're taking out the devil big time on a mass scale, not little, very big scale.
And
yeah, do believe that.
You don't think there's any counterfeit involved?
No. Not when they're with us, no. And I believe that they're also seeing him for the very first time in their life. And that is incredible. Like, many of them have never, ever had, they've never seen a Bible, they've never been inside a church, ever, ever. In Australia, it could be different to America because in Australia, people are not churched. They're not churched. The generation of saying God on the street is over. They don't say, when we visited America, we could ask some people, oh, God bless you, or can I pray for you? And they go, oh, sure, I believe in God. In Australia, it's not like that at all. And I do believe they're having genuine encounters with him through the Holy Spirit. And when they see him, they want him. And that's amazing. When they actually see him for themselves, yeah.
Yeah, when they actually see him. I don't know how they can see him because he's not appearing to anybody, so I don't know how they see him, and you're not telling them who he is because you're saying that we don't have to really say anything. We just let the miracles happen. We just let the signs and wonders happen, so we don't really have to say anything until later, until after you deceive them. And then you're going to say that you're going to tell them the truth later. Oh, anyway, none of it makes any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Deuteronomy 18 says, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. We don't do what psychics do. We don't do what witches do. No, we don't do what they do to try to win people to the Lord. Micah 5:12, and I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. 1 John 4:6-8 says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Jeremiah 27:9, therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. Anyway, God warns against these kinds of things and mixing with the world. Colossians 2:8-10, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Leviticus 19:26, ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment, nor observe times. So we don't need to use enchantment to enchant people with cards, card reading, dream interpretation, so-called words of knowledge, guided imagery, visions of Jesus. No, it's the word of God. It's the word of God that we use. We use God's word when we're preaching to people. The word of God, not cards and not this light shows and these kind of things that are going on today, and more so, more than ever, we're seeing these kind of things. No, it's the old-fashioned gospel. There's nothing wrong with telling people what the Bible says. That's how all of us got saved. Somebody witnessed to us. And they didn't mind telling, the people that were witnessing to me didn't mind telling me that I was messed up. Well, it made me mad at first. I said to myself, who are they to tell me I'm messed up? They're messed up. I'm not messed up. And then when I got saved, I said to myself, I'm messed up. You don't worry about hurting somebody's feelings when they're going to hell. What are we worried about hurting somebody's feelings? Hurt their feelings. Then maybe you'll save their life. Don't deceive them and tell them they're okay when they're not. It's like these men, they can't have a backbone. They can't stand up and say, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Michael Brown did come out and make a few statements after, which he didn't agree with. But basically, it was a softball interview. He wasn't prepared to tell the lady the truth. It's not the truth is not going to hurt Jenny Hodge. It's not going to hurt her. It might hurt her feelings temporarily. But there's nothing wrong with the truth. This is no way to conduct a ministry. It's no way to conduct a ministry. So always be ready to tell people the truth. And we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed to mention his name. There's no other name under heaven which men can be saved. Of course we know that the name of Jesus offends people. Yeah, the gospel offends people, obviously. You see it every day where people are so hateful of Christians. It's not going to get any easier for us. So if we're afraid to stand up and tell people in whom we have believed, then it's going to be a tough road for us. So we can't back down. We have to do the right thing. But it's a crazy, crazy day we're living in. And like I said, I never cease to be amazed at the things that I see going on every day. Just when I think, I wonder what I can talk about next week. Then so many things happen during the week. So many false prophets have gone out into the world. just like Jesus said. So we can't be deceived, and we can't let down. We have to continue to contend for the faith. And whether you're a man or you're a woman, as long as you have a mouth, cry aloud and spare not. Amen? And don't be afraid to do it either, because remember, we could never, ever pay God back or Jesus back for what they've done for us, ever. Who can change a life? Only God. Only God can change a life. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And everybody sinned. Don't say, oh, I don't sin. I don't really sin. Yeah, you sin. Everybody sins. There's only been one perfect one that walked the earth. He didn't sin. No, he didn't sin. And so we sin. And you can call it a mistake. You can call it this and that. But yeah, we all sin, and even Christians sin, and we still need to repent and ask God to forgive us and to help us. Every day we need God's help just to get through the day, because you just don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what sickness you're going to face. You don't know what financial problem you're going to face. You don't know what devil you're going to encounter. All of us are going to be tried and as long as we're walking on this earth, because that was one of the promises too, which Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes it, but we're going to face it. So we have to ask God to help us and to strengthen us to get through the hard times. I know many of you are going through. So just stay strong in the Lord. Remember, God loves you no matter what, no matter if nobody else loves you, and it seems like the whole world's turned against you. Just remember one thing. There's only one person you have to ultimately please, and that's God. So that's the easy part, really. And if you could set all the other things aside, there's always things going on around you to distract you. But we keep our eyes on the prize, and we know that this earth is not our home. We're only here for a short time. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, but remember, you need a Savior if you're not born again. Jesus said it. It wasn't something Billy Graham made up or some preacher made up. Jesus said it in the third chapter of John. He said, ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And only Jesus can change a life. And trust me, he'll do it in an instant. When you repent from your heart and you ask Jesus to come into your life and to be your Lord and to be your Savior, he will change you in an instant, because it happened to me. I know what I'm talking about. And the listeners that are out there that have been born again, they know what I'm talking about. And it's something that you can't deny. You'll never deny it. You'll never deny it, because you remember, you went from total darkness, from being a total idiot and a sinner, and God took you out of that darkness and brought you into his marvelous light. And the eyes of your understanding come open, and for once in your life, you see the truth. And the truth makes you free. And you don't have to search anymore. Your searching is over. Your searching days are over, because you found the truth, and you know you found the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but through me, by me. And Romans 10:10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you must confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. So you don't need tarot cards. You don't need destiny cards. You don't need readings and all that. You need Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All right, everybody. God bless you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Hopefully we'll get the chat room up and running next week. All our listeners around the world, thank you, everybody, in the United Kingdom and Canada, Singapore, Australia, Germany, France, and the other countries listening, and all our friends in the USA. If you need to email me, if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at Susan, at propheticnews.com. That's Susan at propheticnews.com. God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.